if you pray with me once again. Almighty God and our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, it is a great joy and a great privilege to be in your house this day. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would bless our efforts, lead us by thy Holy Spirit, that what we say and do would honor and glorify thee. We again pray for those who are not able to assemble in your house, but Father, we know that there are many who have a desire for thee and for the public worship, and we pray that you bless them and restore them to health and bring them back to this house according to your righteous will. We pray, Father, for our nation and for all our leaders, and pray that you turn their hearts into righteous paths, Father. Have mercy on our nation and restore us once again to the place that we can truly be one nation under God. Father, we pray for those who defend our freedoms and those who sacrifice themselves in service of others, and pray that you'd bless each one. Bless, Father, the church wherever she's assembled today. Grant that the gospel might have free course, Heavenly Father. Give thy ministering servants your word. Grant that they preach with great power. Sanctify that word to the hearts of the hearers. And sanctify us to thy service, Heavenly Father. Just now, Lord, I pray that you bless me, that the words I say might be your words to this thy waiting people. Father, bless us that we might receive your word and joyfully walk therein. Forgive us our sins and our shortcomings, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to continue this morning the series of messages from the book of Colossians chapter 1. I'll again read the first 14 verses and we'll center our attention on verse 7. Again, Colossians chapter 1 and reading verses 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up before you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is into all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it does also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering and joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Now, I want you to notice the fact here that Paul gives thanks to the Father who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans tells us that the kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So the Heavenly Father has delivered us from the power of darkness into the kingdom. Now, I don't intend to have a long discourse on the kingdom this morning, but I believe the kingdom extends farther than the visible church. But I believe the visible church is to be the greatest illustration or the greatest example of the kingdom upon the earth. If somebody says, what is the kingdom of God, we ought to be able to say, well, come to the gathering of the church and you'll see it in action. So we are to be manifesting the kingdom of God. That is, that we are subjects of the great King, Jesus Christ, and we are seeking to promote His kingdom that others might see Him and enjoy the righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost that we experience, especially when we come together in the church. So as I've been trying to bring these messages, that we could take the example of the church at Colossae. There are many other examples in Scripture, but we can take that example as a pattern for us. We looked at how the church would be manifest in faith and love and hope, that the church would be a fruit-bearing church, bringing forth fruit that men might see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. But this morning I want us to look at verse 7, and Paul says, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. Now, one of the characteristics of a vital, living, powerful church is that she is bringing forth ministers of Jesus Christ. I don't mean to imply that every church and every healthy church is going to bring forth preachers, although I don't see why they wouldn't. But when Paul talks about a faithful minister of Christ here, he might very well be talking about a minister of the gospel, one who preaches the gospel. But this word minister here is translated from a Greek word, and I said recently I have a little problem with the English, so I know I murdered the Greek. But the Greek word is diakonos, and it is the word from which we get the word deacon. And that word is applied to a lot of people, as well as those who are formally inducted in that office of deacon. There are women who are described by this word, diakonos. And it literally means one who runs errands, or one who serves. It is applied to those who wait on tables. It is simply one who serves. Our English word minister, we apply that to mostly to those who preach the gospel. But the word literally means one who helps or one who cares for. So there ought to be many faithful ministers in the church. That is, those who are serving others, those who are helping, those who look to the good and welfare of others even more than to themselves. Now, in the book of Ephesians, in the sixth chapter, the Apostle Paul is considering those who were literally slaves, who were bondservants. But notice as he addresses them in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 5, he says, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart, as unto Christ." Now, Paul didn't tell them to try to get loose, try to get out of your bondage, try to be free so that you can serve Christ. He said, be obedient. Serve Christ in the position where you are. Now, I don't think, and we're going to see another reference in just a moment where Paul tells them not to seek to be free. But he said, serve where you are in the condition that you're in. He said, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as unto the Lord and not to men. Paul said, you may be a slave, and you've got that master, and you're required to obey that master. Well, you serve that master, but you remember you're not really serving him, you're serving Jesus Christ. And as a slave, if you serve that master well, God may give you the opportunity to preach the gospel to that master, and that master may be converted. In fact, I believe that was the case many times in those days, where a slave followed Jesus Christ, and through their efforts, their masters was converted to the gospel as well. We always, whatever we do, we are to regard ourselves as being the servants of Jesus Christ, and how much more we in the church ought to be serving one another, serving Christ by serving one another. So, let's look at Epaphras as an example of a faithful servant of Jesus Christ. Notice in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 7, Paul describes him as our dear fellow servant. Now, again, it is my understanding that the Greek word translated here, fellow servant, is literally a co-slave. Paul's saying he's a slave with me. We're slaves together, slaves to Jesus Christ, our Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning at verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 20. Paul said, "Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather." Now, I understand that what Paul is saying here, were you called by the gospel when you were a slave? Well, abide in the same calling where you were called. The Lord knew you were a slave when the gospel came to you. The Lord had a purpose for you when you were a slave. And when he says, use it rather, I understand Paul is saying, use your slavery in service to God. Now, I don't believe that Paul meant absolutely in every case he was a slave, you just stay a slave always. The Lord, I believe, did give opportunity for those who were servants to be made free. But he's saying in that state that you're in, there's opportunities to serve. I'm not going to go back and rehash history, but you know what happened in this country when slaves were set free? Many of them had no place to go, no way to support themselves. They had lived their life in the care of somebody else and had little knowledge of how to care for themselves. They'd have been better off in their bondage than if they had been gradually set free and trained and prepared beforehand. But it was not necessarily a good thing that they were immediately set free. And I think that's kind of the idea that the Apostle Paul is expressing here. Now notice verse 22, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 22. "For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise, he also that is called being free is Christ's servant." So when God calls a slave to serve him, he has great freedom in God the Father and in Christ. There's a spiritual freedom. And in like manner, when one is called being a free man, he becomes a slave to Jesus Christ. Do you understand that a slave has no will of his own? His purpose in life is to serve at the pleasure of his master. And the master's will is his will. And that's what Paul is saying here. We're slaves to Jesus Christ. We don't have a will of our own apart from the will of Christ. That's where we get in trouble. I want to do my will instead of his will. But Paul said that's where true freedom is. When we make ourselves a slave to Christ, follow his will, then we're fulfilling God's purpose for our lives. And then he says, "You're bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men." You bought with a price. You're the servant of Christ.
He paid for it.
He paid for you with His precious blood. So, Paul considered him a slave, and he said, Epaphras is a co-slave. He's a slave with me. And notice that Colossians chapter 1, verse 7, Paul said he's our dear fellow servant who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. So Christ chose him to be a servant by serving that church at Colossae, by being their minister. And again, he may have been a preacher of the gospel, but he may have been a deacon, or he may have been a member who loved the church so much that he was doing all he can for the good of the members of that church. It was for them that he was serving. Now, there's another reference to this man, I believe, is the same man. In the book of Philemon, or Philemon, if you prefer that pronunciation, and the book has only one chapter, and we'll look at just the 23rd verse. Philemon and verse 23. And Paul is closing his letter, and he said, there salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. So he was evidently at where Philemon was, and Paul said, he wrote the letter to Philemon, and he said, greet Epaphras too, because he's my fellow prisoner. Now, we don't know much about Epaphras, other than these few verses that I'm giving you this morning. But Paul calls him a fellow prisoner. And that might mean that he was imprisoned at some point with Paul. That he was a faithful minister of the gospel, even though it meant going to prison. It may also mean that Paul was in prison and Epaphras was there taking care of him. He may have been a free man, but he was visiting Paul and seeing to his need to the point that Paul said, he's in prison with me. But Paul may be saying that he's a prisoner just like I am to Jesus Christ. I was captured, and I was made a prisoner, and he's the same way. He is a prisoner of Jesus Christ. But I believe he's one who served, even if it meant literally going to prison. He was devoted to Jesus Christ. Now, one final reference is in Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may be able to stand perfect and complete in the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. Paul says that here is one who labors fervently in prayer. When we talk about ministering, we talk about serving. I think that some of us have got to the point that we say, well, I'm too old to do very much. We, as a body, we're too small to do very much. We can't have a food pantry or a ministry to the homeless, or you name all these other things that churches are doing. We're just too small to do that. Well, I would argue that. But I'm going to tell you, you don't get too small, you don't get too old, you don't get too feeble, you don't get too anything to pray fervently for the church, for the cause of Jesus Christ, for our brothers and sisters. And as Paul said, he's always laboring fervently for you in prayer, that he may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Now, that's my prayer for you. That's my prayer for these churches that I'm going to be praying for these ministers that I'm going to be praying for, and for myself, that we stand in all the will of God for us. Paul said he has a great zeal for you. Do you have a zeal for Christ and His church, for your brothers and sisters? He had a zeal as well for them in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Do you have a zeal for brothers and sisters in other churches? And we can be, as some use the term, we can be prayer warriors. And don't forget that we are in a war. Satan has come against us. The world has come against us. And I'm not afraid to use that term. We need to be prayer warriors, taking on the whole armor of God and those things that we're commanded to do. And I trust that we'll all make a new commitment to become those warriors. I want to leave you this morning with one final passage of Scripture in the book of Ephesians, in the 5th chapter, verses 13 and 14. We've been talking about being servants and being slaves and being prisoners. Notice what Paul says to the church at Galatia. Now, to give you a little background, the church at Galatia had followed Jesus Christ. And then there were some that came and preached to them and said, well, in order to be a Christian, you first got to be a Jew. You've got to come under the law of Moses, and you've got to be circumcised, and you've got to follow those laws, and then you can be a Christian. And Paul said that that's bringing you right back into that bondage of the law. You're free in Jesus Christ. Now notice Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Paul said, don't use your liberty as an occasion to the flesh. He's saying, you're free from that law. You don't have to bring all those offerings and all those other things. But you're not free from God. You're not free just to satisfy self and do what you want to do. You're free that you might serve God in a more perfect way through Jesus Christ. And we do that by loving and serving one another. We do that by being prayer warriors, one for another. God help us to find new zeal in serving, in praying, in loving one another, is my prayer for Christ's sake.